This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
You sure?
Yeah? I'm good?
Yeah.
Okay, Parsh B'chul Kosei, everyone. We are doing this Pasuk, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Beis. The reason why I got into this is because I'm speaking about our Shavuos night and the idea of Gan Eden and what happened to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi when we went alive to Gan Eden, right? So we have 4.5 hours on Shavuos night, the second night of Shavuos. The first night of Shavuos is only 2.5 hours, but trying to go through that idea. And it struck me in this Pasuk. It says, V'salachti b'sochem chavav yud beis. I will walk amongst you, says Hashem. V'yisalachem lokim, and I'll be your God. V'atem tu'ilam, and you'll be my people. Now, this pasuk is part of the brachos, part of the parsha. In the very beginning of the parsha, in B'chul Kosei, we talk about what happens if you do the mitzvos properly, if you keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos. This is the reward. Part of the reward is this, that God will walk with you, and you'll be a nation dedicated to me that are always going to do what I want you to do. Then it goes into the curses, and if you don't do it, in B'chul Kosei L'simasu, if you despise my chukos, if you don't listen to me, etc., then bad things happen. So first of all, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to walk with us? What does that mean exactly? How is he going to walk with us? So Rav Hirsch gives the Pashut answer without going into anything more. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be near and intimately near all the individuals and the families of Klal Yisrael. He'll be there all together. Every person will see Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem will be with them at every step of the way. Everyone knows that Hashem rules over our nation. Everyone sees that we're a special nation. That's the idea of Yisalachti B'Sochem, that wherever we go, we'll be a happy, united community that all deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that's an obvious shot, a very obvious shot that goes together. Targum Onkelos and Targum Yonos HaMenuziel both say the same thing. The Shekhinah is going to be near us so that when we pray to Hashem, our tefillos are going to be answered. And that's a pretty obvious one as well. We're going to feel warm. We're going to feel embraced. We're going to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of us. So not only is it just, not only is it Hashgacha Pratis, but we also feel that warm embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always being with us whenever we need him. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says this means every single Jew will be able to become a Navi, will be a full-blown Navi. They'll be able to speak to Hashem directly. Yoel in Perek Gimel speaks about this. Says, "V'nibu b'neichem v'noseichem." All of your sons and daughters will become Nevi'im. This is not just special people. A very special person becoming Navi. In the future, we'll all be on the level we can talk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's a level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so near and dear to us, so close to us, that we feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our brother that we can tell anything to, and anything we need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give us. That's the amazing bracha that comes from this V'yisalachti b'sochem. This Sfornos is a very similar idea. He says the word holeich, just hey vav lamed chaf, means to go somewhere. You go from one place to the other. His haleich is the lashon of going from one way to the other, but all over the place. Like lech lecha, go all around the land, Avram Avinu is told. And so to his haleich is go all over the place, not just a normal road. In the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, the way that it was like is everybody had the basking of the glory of the Shekhinah upon them. They understood what it meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them because there were miracles that were happening every day. You looked in the Beis HaMikdash and you saw a pillar of smoke that went straight up to Shemayim. You saw even when it was raining that the fire didn't go out. You saw unbelievable brachos of no zvuvim, no flies going anywhere near the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMitbachayim, where they used to slaughter the animals and keep the animals over there. They saw all these crazy things, one after the other after the other, and they were so impressed. So impressed. But this is more than that. See, all of that is like the sun, where the sun shines down on the people and everyone gets it equally. Now granted, some people tan better than others, but everybody gets the sun equally. If it's 78 degrees outside, Baruch Hashem, it's about time, then it's 78 degrees outside. Nobody gets there and says, well, to me, it feels like it's 69 degrees or it feels like it's 54. No, it's 78 degrees and the sun comes down equally for every single person. There's no difference between any individual person. The way Hashem wants this to be with His Aleich is going to be like a shir, where every single person hears something different. It might be the same words that's coming out of my mouth, whoever the Magid Shir is, that's giving over the shir. Every word may be the same word, but every single person, due to their place in life and what they do and how they've been their whole lives, hears it differently, understands it differently, and takes it differently. Where every single person is different in a way. And I guess it almost can be compared to someone who is more prone to sun tanning versus someone who's more prone to sun burning with the sun. It could be compared to something like that. But the idea is that every single person takes those words differently. Some gain from the actual knowledge. Some gain from the presentation. Some gain from the speaker. It doesn't make a difference what you're gaining from or what you're doing or how much you're gaining or how much you're not gaining. entertaining. The point is that everyone is there and gets something from it. The idea, says the Sforno, is hisalech. When it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hisalach to besochem, I'm going to be among you for what you need me for. And whatever you need me for, you individually, you're going to get out of me. If you need X from me, you'll get X. And if you need Y from me, you'll get Y. And every single person may get me differently, may understand me differently, but that's the point. Every person is a different human being. Sort of like the Shvatim branching off into different directions, each person doing their own thing. Says the Sforno, that's the idea of what's supposed to go on here. The Ramban, however, says it a little bit differently. This bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be like a king walking through his troops as his troops are lined up ready to fight a war for their king. Everybody's there, and every single one of those soldiers realizes the king is walking near, so of course they're standing at attention. They have themselves ready, saluting the king, doing whatever it is that you would normally do for that king. And they know if they just ask a question at that moment, they can get it answered. The king is right here. He's not outside somewhere where you have to write a letter or go through a messenger or go through somebody else. No. He's right here. And the truth is, even if they don't ask for anything at all, just the knowledge that he's there, just knowing that God is around, is enough that you say to yourself, I don't really need anything. If I really needed something, the king would give it to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give it to me. And that's the idea of Yisalach to Besochem. Says the Ramban, he's around. You feel like he's around. He might not even have the Shekhinah on you. Might not even feel it the way the original Rishon, the Targum Onkelos, the Rav Hirsch, the way they were saying it. But the Ramban says you feel like you can ask anything you want and you can get whatever you want. Says the Ramban, wow, what a feeling. What a feeling. You can get anything? I don't even need to ask. I don't even need to ask. I feel like I've gotten everything I need. The Mali Omer says this means more than just Ashgacha Pratis. And he's explaining the Ramban. It will be from your very actions. Everything you do is going to point to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. You're going to feel like God is with you wherever you go. It's not like you're going to have a Yeshua. You'll never find yourself in a position where you'll need the Yeshua. It'll never happen that way. It's as if that year of Hashem is on your very face, like we've talked about with the Gra, having a tefillin on his head, the tefillin Shorosh, where people looked at it and died, passed out from looking at it. That's what it's going to feel like when it comes to this. There's going to be a feeling of just euphoria. We get whatever we want because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is here. And the Shach says exactly that. What are you worried about Shadim for, Mazikin, or any of the bad things in the world? You're worried about somebody damaging you? You're worried about somebody hurting you? It'll never happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is near, and you'll live with bitachon. You'll walk out in the street, and there's no need to protect Chas V'Shalom a shul. You have no need to be able to do any of these security measures inside a shul. Because you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. We're missing that so badly right now. It's not that we shouldn't protect ourselves. It's not that we shouldn't have that worry that maybe something's going to happen. It's that at this point, whenever this is, this bracha v'salach v'sochem, there is nothing to worry about because you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let that happen to you. It's not false blind faith. It's pure understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you and how he treats us. That's the ultimate bracha v'salach v'sochem, says the Shach. And unfortunately, we're not there yet. We are not there yet. And we do need that protection. We need to do something about it. The Chizkuni takes a little bit different. Hashem is willing to take care of us when we absolutely need him. Until that point, maybe yeah, maybe no. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be a dayan. He'll be a shofet for us. He'll take revenge when we need him. When we need him, says Hashem, I'm there. But until that point, I may not seem like I'm there. I may not be there the whole time, but I will be there when you absolutely need me. Which again, is a bracha. Not the greatest of brachas. We'd rather our Kadosh Baruch Hu be there at all times, like that Ashkacha Pratis level that we all want. But he's there when we absolutely need him. But each one of these Pirushim, as you've already seen, is talking about a bracha that happens in this world. Every single one of them, where we go with the Ramban, or the Sforno, or Rav Hirsch, or Targum Onkelos, or any of these answers are going with, it's in Olam Hazeh, and the bracha is Yisalach V'Sochem, I'm with you in this world. And the truth is, that makes a ton of sense, right? All the other brachos are talking about this world. They're talking about having fruit, and having rain, and having the trees grow stuff, and having the grain, etc. All that type of stuff, it's all talking about Olam Hazeh. Parish Yonason is the parish on Targum Yonason and Azil, says, the Pasuk indicates this. It says, Besochechem, Yisalach V'Sochem, I'll walk amongst you while you're alive. Not after you're dead, when you come to me, I'm going to be with you when you're alive. And it seems that we're referring to exactly that. That every single one of these praises, every single one of these brachos is something that's in this world and not in the next. There seems to be something awesome about what's happening right now. The Ramban says it seems to be obvious that we shouldn't be talking about anything spiritual because the Torah never speaks about anything spiritual. Where does the Torah ever promise us Olam Haba? Where are the words in the Torah that if you do good, you get a Gan Eden, and if you do badly, you go to Gehenna? Where are those words? Even Gehenna is a misnomer. There is no Gehenna. Gehenna is the name that we use for Gai Ben Hinnom, the valley of Ben Hinnom, which is that area outside of the old city on the left-hand side when you take out Shar HaShbot and you go down that road, that valley that's right down there, right, that unfortunately right now is mostly owned by, or taken over by Arab houses. And that area is where Molech was and all that. And because it was such a scary, weird place where horrible things of Avodah Zarah were happening, they named Gehenna after it. They had the idea of what the netherworld should be like is named after that valley. But there's no mention of Gehenna in all of Tanakh. There's no mention of Gan Eden in all of Tanakh, aside from the very, very beginning of Bereishis. No mention of what's going to be in Olam Haba, says the Ramban. There's no question. Why would the Torah not mention something about Olam Haba? There's no reason to go into it. You want to wonder if there is Olam Haba? There is Olam Haba. How do I know? Says the Ramban, Kares. Kares. What is Kares? Kares is cutting off one's soul. Well, how can you do that in a physical way? That can't be physical. There must be in a spiritual world. There must be something there. And if there's a punishment spiritually, then it must mean that if you don't get Kares, then your soul is connected to something great after you die. He said, that's automatic. That's not a shaila. That's not a question. How do we know not that God is with us in Olam Haba? That's not a question. How do we know that God is with us in Olam Hazeh? He says, it's obvious to me, this is the Ramban's line, that it can't be talking about Olam Haba. It's got to be talking about this world, because that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu would promise us. Al derech ha-emes, though, and this is the way the Ramban likes to introduce his ideas that are more Kabbalistically inclined. And although we don't fully understand those types of ideas, the Rabbeinu Bachaya tries to explain them in his own way to try to help us understand it a little bit. It, of course, refers to another reward that happens after death. The Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is a reward in this world, the way the Ramban says it. You're going to get something. God will be with you. God will understand. Everybody will understand that God is with you. That's the idea behind it. But of course there's something behind the scenes. Of course that's something. When the rewards will be given, B'tash L'man, when the rewards are awesome, of course there's going to be something awesome waiting for us in Olam Haba, but we're going to get it. But until that time, we're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us in this world, and that's going to be our reward, and eventually maybe we'll get Olam Haba. But that's all those opinions. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh starts off the other way around. What's it like Olam Haba-wise? And refers to what's going to be La'asid. La'asid Lavo. He brings the Gemara in Tainus Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph. Anybody here ever finished Tainus before? You ever made a siyum on Tainus? At the end of Tainus, you probably know, there's a circle. Man standing in the middle of the circle, right? And he's sitting there. And what he does is he stands in the middle of the circle, gathers everyone around him, and each one of them points to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle and says, Zeh Keli Va'anvehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. This is my God who I believe in, and I am going to glorify him. I believe in everything he does. That's the line of Zeh Keli Va'anvehu. And they all sit around. They're in a circle. Now, the reason why a circle is because obviously everybody's equidistant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The radius of the circle leads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what it refers to. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the halicha of this pasuk is not referring to walking. The salachti besokacha means my glory, my rays of light, my awesomeness will go out to everyone while you're standing in that circle. La'asid level, the bracha is that you're going to be standing there on the outside, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is right in the middle there, and the glory of Hashem will reach every single one of you. The salachti besokacha is there's a halicha of that ray of light going to every single person. Everyone's going to be affected by that. So already, you have an Or HaChaim HaKadosh that says this is talking about La'asid Lavo, and that's what we're referring to. Rashi says such an unbelievable line. The line is, it's for sure referring to the next world. Ataya l'schem b'Gan Eden ke'echad mikem. I'm going to walk with you in Gan Eden like I'm one of you. Like I'm one of the Jews. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us that when we go to Gan Eden, he's going to walk with us. He, so to speak, is like the father taking the hand of the child, bringing him to a park, bringing that little kid to a park. For those who have had kids or have kids that are that young, you know what that means. You know what that means. To take your kid's hand and walk him over to the park to be able to bring him inside there. It's an amazing feeling to even feel it with a nephew, with a brother, with anything. It's an amazing, amazing feeling. Do you remember being a kid and being taken to a park by your parents, by your uncle, by your older brother? Do you remember that happening? That feeling is an amazing, amazing feeling. Says Rashi, the line that's being used is that in Gan Eden, there will be a connection that we have to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's like a real father to a son. And it's not just a father to a son. There's no fear. Normally, if you'd be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there'd be a palpable fear. What am I going to do? I know what kind of a person I am. I don't deserve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold my hand. I'm a terrible person. I'm going to be able to hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in Gan Eden? I'm going to be scared the whole time. What happened to Adam Marishon in Gan Eden when Hashem went through Gan Eden and Adam knew he had sinned? He hid. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Adam, why are you hiding? He said, simply put, because I sinned. I know I did something wrong. I know something's wrong. I didn't know what to do at that point. So why won't we be afraid, deathly afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you won't be afraid. By this time, once you get to Gan Eden, you'll understand why you're there. You'll understand what your soul needed to go through. You'll understand everything. At that point, you'll take my hand and walk through Gan Eden with me. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises. And if you're worried, maybe you're going to lose your awe of me. Maybe you're going to lose your awe, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I promise you're going to still have awe. You won't have fear, but you'll be in awe of me. There will be an awe that you'll have, knowing that I'm the father and that you're the kid. That's going to happen once you get out there. In Torah's Kohanim, there's a mashal given, and it's a beautiful mashal. A king was once walking with his sharecropper through his field. A sharecropper is a person who is allowed to work the field, and based on what he makes at the end of the year, he keeps a third or a half or a quarter of the field, and the rest of it goes to the owner, meaning all the crops that come from it go to the owner itself. He's walking with the sharecropper, and he's walking through the orchard, and they're admiring what the sharecropper was able to do that year. The sharecropper runs ahead and hides in one of the grapevines, and the king looks and says, what happened to you? Why did you run away? And the sharecropper says, I'm scared. I'm scared of you. I'm not sure what to do. I didn't do everything perfectly. I didn't work as hard as I should have worked. Granted, I grew a garden. I was able to make an orchard. But I didn't do everything you wanted me to do. And I feel bad about that. Now that I'm looking and I see a problem here and I see an issue there, there's a grapevine I didn't tend properly. There's a tree that I should have taken care of. And I realize I made a lot of mistakes. And the king calls the sharecropper back and says, don't you realize that I'm the one who gave you this field? I know the problems in this field. I know what the issue is. I'm telling you, I want you to walk with me through this field. You know what the pshat is? Tzaddikim create their own Gan Eden. When they go up to Shemayim after 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is walking through their area. This is your land that you created. The trees here are your trees. Some of them might be stunted growth. Maybe a couple of them are like the Japanese little tiny trees, you know, that didn't grow the way the bonsai trees, right? Some of them might have really, really sour grapes. And it could be that there's a little, you know, there's some worms that are in some tree. That could be. But it's your field. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be proud of your field. You did this. You created this. You made something. And I want to walk you through it to show you all the great things that you did, not the bad things that you didn't do. The great things that you did, there's an awe here that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but no fear. No fear. That's how the Medrash puts it. It's a beautiful, beautiful Medrash. And that's what's going to be lost at level. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Tam Vidas, or of Sternbach, is the one that really goes through this idea and really explains this Medrash and this Rashi well. The idea of this, your own mitzvahs, your own good deeds are able to create something like that and walking through, etc. It's amazing. This is what we're going to do, to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our own orchards that we created. The Be'er Basada says the only one who was afraid in the garden was Adam Marishon because he had just sinned at that moment knowing he shouldn't have. We're different, says the Be'er Basada. We'll have sinned in this world, but we'll have already been punished for it. Through either Yisurin in Olam Hazeh or Chas V'Shalom something in Olam Haba, there will be a punishment that's already dedicated for it. By the time we get to Gan Eden, our reward, all of that is gone. All of that is finished. Now, it's something completely different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I've forgiven you. That's all gone. There's nothing to worry about when it comes to that. I'm ready to go. The Chofetz Chaim says, you know what the fear should be? The fear should be, you can imagine if a Rosh Yeshiva takes a Bachar and he says, I want to walk with you. At any point he could ask him about the Gemara that he's learning. And the Bachar has to know the Gemara really, really well. So he'll say to him, what did you think of the Shir today? I thought it was great. So what do you think of this Chiddush that I gave in the Rashba? It was great. There's a fear there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any point could say to the person, Sinu, what Torah have you learned? And the Chofetz Chaim is making even the walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the orchard. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to turn and he's going to say, so tell me what you've learned in this life. What did you do? What did you get out of this world? What were the things that you did? What were the things that you weren't able to do? See, even though he's not in the realm of punishment, there's still a realm, says the Chofetz Chaim, of Abusha. And it's still there. Even in Gan Eden, where at that point HaKadosh Baruch Hu was leading you through, you have to be prepared to answer him. What are you going to say? There's still something there. There's a fear there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to make you afraid, but there's going to be an awe. There's going to be something there, and we're going to have to answer to something. There is something that we have to do. I remember when I got to learn with Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal, when I was in the Mir Yeshiva, and it was the biggest brach in the world. I walked in, and with my audacity and my brazenness of being a Chicago kid, I said I had a close relationship with my previous Rosh Yeshiva. I'd like to have a relationship with the Rosh Yeshiva. And he said, simply put, learn with me. And I was like, okay. Anybody going to say no to that? No, of course. Of course you're going to say yes. How do you say no? So I found the time. I asked my wife, and I found the time to be able to make sure that I was around, that I could learn with the Rosh Yeshiva. And you know how scary it was when you learn with an hour for a person who obviously has Parkinson's and issues just standing up straight or sitting up straight in a couch? And you're there, and you're perfectly fine. My faculties are all good. I was 23 at the time, maybe 23 years old at the time. And I'm saying that everything's all good. And he's running circles around you in every Gemara you learn. He can't read the words, but he has everything down pat, where everything is set in his mouth. And he says, look at that. Now look at the Rashba. Now pull out something up. And you're sitting there. And at the end, he turns to you. So what do you think? What do I think? I don't know. I don't know. Meaning, I'm looking for a chiddush. I'm searching for a chiddush. Something to go into my head. What in the world could I say? And I remember saying something and seeing the face that the Rosh Yeshiva gave me. Seeing the face, I was just like, that wasn't it. That wasn't what he was looking for. And that happens. That happens. It's almost like that. Now, was I unbelievably happy that I got to sit down with the Rosh Yeshiva and learn with? Of course. What's the shaila? I got to sit down with the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. I got to sit and learn with him. And he invited me back the next day, even though I'm an idiot. It didn't matter. He still invited me back to be able to come back. And then I still got it. But you know how scary that is? There's an awe there, but with a fear. But there's nothing to be afraid of. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to slap me? No. There's no fear, but there's still a fear. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's what it's like. Yes, you get to walk with him. And yes, it's awesome. And yes, it's in your orchard. You get it. But you still have to have learning on you. You still have to have something. Just tell me what you've done. It's awesome. But still, we're missing something. There's got to be something more of walking with Hashem in Gan Eden. What is this walking with Hashem in Gan Eden? I'm not positive, but I think the phrase is only used once in Talmud Bavli. And if anybody sees a correction to this, you can correct me on it. If there's a Yushalmi, a Medrash that I don't remember, or that I never learned. But there's a line in Talmud Bavli in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Bezim and Aleph. Kadosh Baruch Hu asks Yeravam, goes up to Yeravam ben Nevat, and says, do tshuva. Everybody knows Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of Klal Yisrael. Such high hopes. Achia Shiloni made him king because Yeravam ben Nevat was the best of the rest. The best. After Shlomo Melech and David Melech came Yeravam ben Nevat. Rechavam was not on the same level. And he went to Yeravam and he said, you're going to be king. And Yeravam ben Nevat did unbelievable things. And then, because he was worried that he'd lose his kingship, all of a sudden he made two golden calves, put one in Dun, one in Beersheba, one up in Dun, one by Beersheba. And then he made partisios, these little officers on the road, to not let them do Aliyah L'Regel. And he made up his own chag on Tesvav Cheshvan. And he made their own chag, where they made it up out of a new sukkah, so to speak. Made his own chag in which they celebrated on that day. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu came to Yeravam ben Nevat in a dream. Said to Yeravam ben Nevat, do tshuva, chazor bach, go back on what you've done. Va'ani, va'ata, u'ben Yishai, nitayol began Eden. Me, you, and David ben Yishai, David HaMelech, will walk together in Gan Eden. And Yeravam ben Nevat, because of his terrible, terrible gaiva, looked back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Mi Barishon, who's first? Is it me, or is it ben Yishai? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ben Yishai is first. Now, if you look at the Gemara, in the Gemara it says, me, you, and ben Yishai. Originally, Yeravam ben Nevat was first. When he asked who's first, then he said, David ben Yishai is going to be first. That's when he asked. And when he said that, when he said, David's first, I don't want it. You can walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden. And you're not willing to walk with him? That was Yeravam ben Nevat's problem. Yeravam ben Nevat had that gaiva that pulled him down, that he wouldn't even allow himself to take the bracha of walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden. And I'm pretty sure that's the only Gemara where this line appears of a title, I'm going to be metayel with you in Gan Eden. Aside from the translation of this Gemara, this pasuk, obviously. I think that's it, and it's such a scary thing. Or Achayim HaKadosh. In the beginning of the parsha, we spoke about this last year, there are 42 different perushim to Im B'chukos Sai Teilechu. We talked about what it means to have 42 different perushim. Can you imagine that? And just the words Im B'chukos Sai Teilechu, we had 42 different ways of darshaning it. Number 19. He says, he quotes the Mikubalim, who say the word tiul refers to a level of pleasure that cannot be matched by anything in this world. Tiul does not mean just taking a trip. It means an unbelievable amount of adinus, of pleasure that you'll have, pleasantness that you'll have in this side, this world. It's going to be awesome. How does a person reach that level? Says the Ruach HaKadosh, im b'chukosai, if you do what I want within the Torah, you learn Torah. It's not necessarily he doesn't mean ba'amelus. He just means learning Torah, period, then teilechu. You're going to go to places, you're going to go in through Gan Eden, into a place that nobody else will be able to get to. But now it makes a lot more sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu walking with us is a level of pleasure that cannot compare to anything else in the world. This is the level of pleasure that we've always been searching for, something that's amazing, that every person in the world is looking for, that level of Kedusha, where you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there's like an ultimate idea where everything is there. Very few are able to get to this level. But we're Zocha. We have the ability to, through our Torah learning, just by sitting and learning Torah, to get to Gan Eden and to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Gan Eden. It's something that's such a high level, something that very few are able to receive, such an unbelievable idea. The Tzror HaMor brings down from Zechariah that Zechariah saw Malach speaking before Yeshua Kohen Gadol. Yeshua Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol at the time. Unfortunately, Yeshua Kohen Gadol was a tzaddik gomer. If you remember, he was thrown into a fire and survived, even though he had two Rishayim with him. His begadim were singed, but he's thrown into a fire. Zechariah sees him, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, with a Malach in front of him, and he told him, the Malach said to Yeshua Kohen Gadol, Malachim are called Omdim. They stand still. Human beings are called mehalchim. We constantly are on the move. There's a difference between us and malachim. Malachim cannot go any further than where they are. Whatever level they're on, that's where they are. They're not getting any further. They're not growing. There's no bechira. There's nothing else happening there. Human beings are mehalchim. We constantly grow. Chas v'shalom, and sometimes we grow the wrong direction. We're going in the other direction. We're growing down. But that happens. But we're growing. We're growing human beings. That's who we are as people. We're mehalchim. Avraham Avinu is told, Yisalech lefnei v'hei samim. Walk in front of me and be perfect. Noach is told to walk. Hanoch is told to walk. The idea behind walking is getting to that next level. Bringing ourselves to whatever we're supposed to do as if we're supposed to walk and be on the same path with him. Says the Torah more. Anybody who walks with the king is automatically the most kosher person around, the most kosher person possible. That's the idea behind this pasuk, and that's what we're supposed to say. Panim Yafo says, look at the very first Sif in Shulchan Aruch. I'll tell you, I've had this problem for years. Anybody who's read through Sif Aleph, Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, if you haven't had this problem, you haven't thought it through. What does it say in Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph? Simply put, a person should wake up in the morning and greet his creator, jump up like a lion. Right? And greet his creator, right? Like he's ready to go. Like he's ready to go. You're supposed to get up there. And listen to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, because if you had a meeting with the king, right? If you had a meeting with the king, wouldn't you jump up in order to go meet the king? You would do that, right? You should do the same thing with your davening, the same thing with your creator. You should get up and get up there and dance in front of the king itself. So the kasha that everybody asks is so obvious. Everybody, every single person should ask this. If I was meeting the king every single day, you think I would still feel that way? No, I wouldn't. If he was going to kill me, maybe, but I'm not going to feel that way. If I got to meet the king once, you better believe I'm getting up for it. Yeah, for sure. If it's one time, you better believe it. But you're asking me to do it every day. That's not a Kal Vachomer. That's not a Kal Vachomer. You want me to get up once? I'll do it. You're right. You're 100% right. But I'm davening every single morning for an hour. That doesn't compare. Why is that comparable to one and the other? That's the idea. The Panim Yafo says, such a good answer. What if that king is not who you think he is? The king is not an omed. A king that's an omed is a guy who's never growing, never improving, never becoming anything better. You see your king, and your king is so awesome that every day becomes awesomer. Every day becomes bigger. You see him, he's trying every single morning. A person like David HaMelech, who even though he was king, was constantly working and constantly staying up all night, constantly learning. At Chatzos, Lila, the Talmidei Chachamim, felt guilty because they saw David HaMelech learning. And they were like, if he's learning at midnight, all the way up until Vasikin, how could we not do that? People felt guilty from what David HaMelech was doing. if they saw a king like that who's constantly growing, constantly working on himself, constantly doing something, then yes, every single morning you want to grow like him. Every single morning you want to do something. Says the Panim Yafos, this is the pshat behind the mashal. If you saw a king who is growing every single day, where every morning you had to build yourself up to him, wouldn't you keep doing that? And the answer is, of course, yes. You would do anything you can to be like that person. Why wouldn't you want to be like that person? And therefore, that's what you're going to do. You're going to do everything you can to be as close as you possibly can to that idea. Okay. All of that was dealing with walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden. And then comes the Be'er Yitzchak. This refers to an ability. What it means, walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an ability to think on a really high level. We all know that Gemara in Chagiga, right? Four tzaddikim were able to reach Pardes. Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, and Elisha, Ben Avuya. The guys were able to reach that level of learning that nobody else could get to. An orchard where their minds were in such an unbelievable level of ruchnias, they couldn't bring themselves back down. Ben Azai died. Ben Zoma went crazy. Elisha, Ben Avuya went off the derech. Only Rabbi Akiva was able to hold himself down from getting too far. This is the level of Pardes. This idea of Yisalakti B'Silchem, I'm going to walk amongst you, means your minds will be rolling in such a level that you won't even realize how quick you're thinking. You won't even realize everything you're doing over here. That's the best thing in the world. One might think, as Rashi says, that when you reach that level, you may not show any fear of Hashem, because you'll be like, oh, I get it now. I understand the Torah. The Torah finally makes sense to me. It's opened up in my mind. I finally get it. The synapses that go off in your mind finally are there. I get it. I get the whole thing now. No. Even then, you get more and more and more. I hate to say it, but I was also that guy who, after 1 year in Eretz Yisrael, thought I was the greatest Talmud Chacham of all time. You know that guy? He's the regular first year. It's the first year syndrome. You go to Eretz Yisrael. You come back. Like halfway through the year, you think there is no greater Talmud Chacham that ever existed in the world, right? And then afterward, you come back. You're like, you know every halacha, and everything should be there, and everybody should listen to you. And then as you go on, you realize you know nothing. You know nothing. As years go by, you sit there and you're just like, I don't even know what to do with myself anymore. I remember saying to people, what else? What else could I do in Chumash? What other Sfarim out there? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm not even close to finishing a drop in the ocean of what I want to do in Chumash. Anything. And you're telling, and I, 20 years ago, was sitting there and saying, I have nothing else to do. But I was a fool. I was a fool. The more you get it, the more you get involved, the more you realize, oh my gosh, there's so much out there. And it could depress some people. There's so much to do. Until you realize you're doing everything you can. You're learning what you can. The idea behind the Be'er Yitzchak is you're going to do everything you can and not be afraid. You're going to sit there and realize, wow, this is amazing. You're going to understand more and more and more and realize that there's still more to go. There's still more to understand, and we'll never reach the end of it. Never. That's the awesomeness behind Torah itself. The Chasam Sofer is where the Malachim, Chasam Sofer says, the Malachim fool themselves into thinking that you're like God. They look at you like you're a God because you're so special. You're so like not like anybody else in the world. We're going to be so different that the Malachim are going to look down and be like, wait, I can't tell the difference. Is that guy a God? Is that what a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is he connected to Hashem? They can't tell. It's as if we are mini Elohim. Mini gods, I'm using the lowercase g, as in special people. Even Yaakovin was called that. He was called a Kael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Malach, Yisrael Kael of Yashar Kael. That he was a Kael of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that's special that's out there, says the Chasam Sofer, that's how special it is. What an unbelievable Chasam Sofer. The Chofetz Chaim says, doesn't that make it all worth it? Granted, it's a crazy amount of work, and you're going to have to go through a crazy amount in order to get to this level. And this is not easy. No one's saying that this is going to be easier, that you're going to be able to get this just by snapping your fingers and everything's going to be easy for you. But isn't this worth it? Isn't it worth it to be able to say you did everything you could to the point where, look, this is where you are. You got to be on the level where you can sit there with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you got everything you needed. Isn't that awesome? I don't know what else to say. It's like the greatest level that a person could get to. There's an Aderes Eliyahu from the Ben Ish Chai and an unreal Kliyakar. On the third and fourth pages on your sheet, guys, it talks about the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says, notice that I haven't said anything about Olam Haba yet. Nothing. Nothing's been said about Olam Haba throughout the Torah. And Tanakh, no mention. Kliyakar asks, why not? Why not? And he gives seven answers. Seven beautiful answers. as to why Olam Haba isn't there. I'm going to try to make this kliyuk or an addendum to this year. I'm not going to be able to do it through Torah anytime, so it's going to have to be on my website. So I'm going to apologize for that. Okay? It's going to be, I'm just going to tell you, RabbiTzviZimmerman.com. So it's going to be on RabbiTzviZimmerman.com with ZVI. I know, or whatever. But it's going to be that, yeah, I'm going to have to do it because I don't have time to re-record right now. Maybe you can pull it off on whatever it is. But I'm going to have to make it as an addendum this year. But this kliyuk is so amazing. I'll send it out to everybody that you have it. It's the craziest kliyuk of all time, and it goes through everything. The reasons why Olam Haba aren't mentioned. But we'll stop with this for right now. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.